This is the one-stop FPL podcast. Hello and welcome back to another episode of One Stop FPL with me, your host, Andy Johnson. On today's episode, we're going to be taking a look at the best options for transfers in for your squads between now and the end of the season to help maximise the two double game weeks that remain in game weeks 34 and 37 and whatever chip strategy you are on. The deadline is on Saturday morning and I'm recording on Friday night, so let's not waste any more time and get straight into it. Right then, game week 33 is here. The deadline is Saturday the 13th of April at 11 a.m. UK time. And that is 90 minutes before the first kickoff of the game week. And that is Newcastle versus Spurs. Now, just before I go on any further, it is worth mentioning that the double game week 37 fixtures have been confirmed. There are six teams that double in 37. They are Manchester City, Manchester United, Tottenham, Chelsea, Newcastle and Brighton. So, whatever chip strategy you're on, whatever transfers you're making between now and 37, keep those doublers in mind, because obviously that will have an impact on what decisions you're making this week and for the foreseeable. So, let's now move on to game week 33. And ultimately, your transfer decisions this week will be hugely dependent on whether or not you still have your free hit chip or not. If you used it in game week 29, like many did, then you are obviously going to be targeting people who double in 34 and obviously have a good fixture this game week. If you do still have your free hit available, then don't necessarily just see this week as a one-week punt and just go for whoever you think has a great fixture in 33 because you're bringing in a brand new team for 34. And that is because free hit teams disappear after that game week and you will be lumbered in game week 35 with whatever you left in game week 33. So keep that in mind when you're making your transfers as well. Okay, in terms of positions, we'll start at the back and take a look at some goalkeepers first. Petrovic, not been particularly successful despite some kind fixtures on paper for Chelsea. No clean sheets from him recently. And also, to be honest, the performances have not been great from him either. So I am slightly concerned that Sanchez actually may even come back in between now and the end of the season. Petrovic and Dubravka are the two goalkeepers that I have in my squad. And to be honest with you, I am slightly concerned that neither of them will be first choice come game week 38, with Nick Pope also due back from injury in about 3 or 4 weeks' time. I could find myself in need of one or two goalkeepers between now and the end of the season. Kelleher owners will be slightly concerned at seeing that this week, Alisson was back in training. Now, he didn't feature on the bench midweek, unlike the other two players who are coming back from injury, Jota and Trent Alexander-Arnold. But I would not be at all surprised to see Alisson lining up between the sticks for Liverpool in their game against Crystal Palace at the weekend. After that home defeat in Europe, the pressure will be massively on Liverpool at home to deliver a very strong performance, keep themselves competitive in the title race. And if Alisson is available, then the number one choice goalkeeper will surely get the nod. So if you do own Kelleher, now might be the time to move on from him. The tricky thing is, obviously, you're not going to get a huge amount of money for selling him. You probably need additional funds, so it might take two moves. No one really likes taking a hit. You know, minus 4 points for a goalkeeper move is never great. It's always much harder for a goalkeeper to make up that 4 point deficit. You know, even a clean sheet only gets those 4 points back. So you would need bonus points or some sort of miraculous assist from a goalkeeper to be able to more than make up the difference. If you can afford to buy Alisson, then Alisson's pretty much one of the only goalkeepers who could potentially get you an assist. But that being said, I don't think he's going to be an option. The same could be said actually for Manchester City's Ortega, who has had a brief stint in goal while Ederson has been out. However, Ederson was on the bench mid-week against Real Madrid, so Ederson almost certainly will come back in and feature for Manchester City for the rest of the season. I'd be very surprised if he didn't. To be honest with you, the best goalkeeper pick in the game this season, miraculously, is now Jordan Pickford. He is the highest point scoring goalkeeper in the game. And with the double in 34 for Everton around the corner, he might actually be a pretty viable goalkeeping option, especially for those who are not free hitting in game week 34. Everton away at Chelsea this week, so not an ideal fixture. But perhaps he could pick up a few extra points for saves, or if there was a miraculous clean sheet, then he'd certainly be on for some bonus, I would imagine, as well. The thing that's particularly frustrating for anyone who is free hitting in 34 and instead already focusing on building their squads ahead of the double in 37, there aren't too many teams that double in 37 that have particularly appealing goalkeeping options. I think, you know, at City, you've obviously got Ederson, who will likely be back, but he's incredibly expensive and City aren't keeping loads of clean sheets and they face Spurs in one of them, although they are against Burnley in the other. Manchester United concede so many chances. Onana has actually done quite well in terms of his points return this season, but I just don't fancy any clean sheets for United at all at the moment. Spurs obviously double, but I think Vicario is quite an expensive option at 5.3, but I suppose could be an option. The fixtures are not great for Tottenham. They've still got to face Arsenal, Liverpool and Manchester City, Newcastle, Chelsea. They've got really tough fixtures, Spurs. Chelsea, I've already spoken about Petrovic. There is obviously a risk that he could even lose his place after these fairly indifferent performances. Newcastle at the moment, Dubravka is an appealing option. However, is he still going to be the number one choice come game week 37? There is the possibility that Nick Pope is back fit and picked ahead of him in goal. And Brighton keeper, I just can't see any clean sheets for Brighton at all. So, and the fixtures aren't the best either. So I think it's very, very difficult. I would probably at the moment lean towards Onana being the best pick of a pretty tricky bunch. If you could afford Ederson, then he is quite an appealing option because he's one of the few players who has a lower risk of rotation under Pep. But I think you're probably going to want to see more potential upside by picking outfield players, by picking attacking options like Haaland, Foden, De Bruyne. So I actually do think that Onana might be the best option. I know I said that obviously Manchester United are conceding loads and loads of chances, but Onana seems to be picking up the points. He's making a lot of save points. And earlier in the season, Man United were able to, against the weaker sides, grind out a few sort of 1-0 wins and scraping by. And those clean sheets actually provided, you know, a few bonus for the likes of Onana as well. So he would be my reluctant recommendation for a goalkeeping pick if you are looking for a doubler in 37. Pickford if you're looking for a doubler in 34. Moving on to defenders, let's first talk about Liverpool. Now, I mentioned earlier about Kelleher and Alisson. Well, the same can now be said for Connor Bradley and Trent. Trent, too, is now back in training and he featured on the bench. He didn't come off the bench, but he was in the matchday squad for that Europa League tie against Atalanta in midweek. It's interesting that he didn't come on to get any minutes because there were a few players that did come on, including Jota, who was in a similar position coming back from injury, and he did actually get some minutes. No minutes for Trent, but if Klopp deemed him fit for the matchday squad, and now that Europa League tie, I think, is almost as good as dead now for Liverpool, Klopp will surely be looking to prioritise the Premier League. Trent rested further ahead of the Premier League game against Crystal Palace. If he's fit, I can't see Trent not starting that game. I think it's just so tight at the top of the table. Klopp can't really afford to rest his key players if they're fit enough to play. So I just think that I think Trent comes in and he starts against Crystal Palace. If you own Connor Bradley, I might look to sell him on now because his minutes are going to be reduced. Yeah, there's a chance that he plays against Crystal Palace. But I feel like you're probably just delaying an inevitable transfer that needs to be made. So if you can do it, do it. Bear in mind, if you are on a free hit 34, there's no rush to do it because obviously you can just free hit him out and get the perfect Liverpool triple up for their double in 34. But what I will say is if you don't sell him now, remember you're still going to be stuck with Connor Bradley come game week 35. And he might not be getting many minutes at all. And there aren't many transfer opportunities left between now and the rest of the season. So keep that in mind. As for Arsenal defenders, well, Arsenal defence has just been absolutely outstanding this season. In particular, since the turn of the year, it's been almost impenetrable. In the Premier League, Arsenal have conceded just 4 goals in 2024. Once against Newcastle, once against Liverpool, and once in each of their 2 Premier League ties against Brentford. Other than that, it's just been clean sheets all the way. And that has been lovely for Gabriel owners and even more fantastic for anyone who had or still has an Arsenal double up in defence. I had Gabriel and Saliba for a bit, needed to free up some funds and sold Saliba. I kind of wish I had stuck around with him for a little longer, but when you need the funds, you need the funds. If we look at the fixtures this week, Arsenal are at home to Aston Villa. And Liverpool, as I said, are at home to Crystal Palace. On paper, the far more difficult fixture is against Villa. But I actually think that Arsenal have a better chance of keeping a clean sheet than Liverpool this week. Palace have been scoring goals recently. Mateta's found a little bit of form up front for them. He even scored after just a couple of minutes against Manchester City in the previous game week. And obviously, Ollie Watkins has had a fantastic season for Villa. And Villa have scored a lot of goals going forward this season. But Arsenal defence is just so strong. Normally, when we look at the potential for clean sheets in any given week, we look at a team's opponents and we think, can they score? And usually, I would look at Aston Villa and think, yes. But with Arsenal, I think they're the only team in the league that I actually am not too concerned who they face. I still back them to get a clean sheet at the moment. We saw that back in game week 30, I think it was, with the 0-0 draw against Manchester City. Arsenal are just not conceding a lot of goals. They have shown frailties at times. I mean, midweek, Bayern Munich really did get at their defence, scored twice at the Emirates. So it can be done if you're on your absolute A game and you really take it to them. But there aren't too many teams in the Premier League that have that capability and have that talent up front. So I actually back the clean sheet this week to go to Arsenal once again. That being said, how many Arsenal defenders do you want to have at the moment? Because if you're not free hitting in game week 34, and you want doublers, you're probably going to want 2 attacking options from Arsenal. You're probably going to want Saka and 1 other attacking option. Maybe Havertz, maybe Odegaard. It feels less appealing to go for a defensive option alongside Gabriel. I think Gabriel is an absolute certainty because statistically has the best goal threat out of all of the defenders. He does pick up bonus points when they keep clean sheets as well. Ben White has actually been particularly dangerous attacking down that right-hand side, but he has a slight rotation risk over the likes of Gabriel at the moment. So I would say Gabriel is a lock for an Arsenal defensive pick. If you don't have him yet, where have you been? You should absolutely have him in your team. If you do have him and you're looking for any other Arsenal defender, if you can afford it, I would go for Ben White. I probably wouldn't go Raya in goal just purely because there is no attacking threat potential there. If you're going to go for a double up in defence, at least go for another defender who has a bit more of an upside potential. But I would actually just be happy and content with just the one Arsenal defender despite their defensive record. Defenders at Spurs. There has been so much expectation from Pedro Porro to deliver attacking returns, and he just hasn't been getting them for ages. He started the season really well, then he went a little bit off the boil, and then finally, after 32 game weeks of FPL, he delivered his first double-digit haul of the season with a fantastic goal in the 3-1 victory over Forest. And the 3 bonus points that followed meant that he finally got an 11-point haul, his first and only double-digit haul of this season. So Pedro Porro finally returning for those who have been waiting patiently. If, like me, you couldn't quite stretch to Pedro Porro and you had instead gone for the other attacking fullback, Destiny Udogie, you will have been, like me, pretty frustrated and also slightly concerned at the standard of performance from him. He has actually just dropped off a little bit in recent weeks, not playing quite as well as he was at the start of the season. And he's getting into fantastic positions. He's really, really attacking, often breaking through into the box. The underlying numbers look good, but the returns are just not there at the moment. He's actually a player who I'm considering selling this game week, and that is despite the fact that Spurs have still got 2 doubles between now and the end of the season, one in 35 and one in 37. The problem is, just because they double doesn't mean to say they're a good pick. Spurs defenders at the moment are not getting a lot of attacking returns, and that is why you would buy them, because they're certainly not getting clean sheets. Speaking of not getting clean sheets, Chelsea defenders, certainly not a particularly viable option. Obviously, they too have 2 doubles between now and the end of the season. The only one I would really go for is Gusto. And the only reason that I would go for Gusto over a Spurs defender is the fact that he's just 4.2 million. So, yes, he's not keeping any clean sheets. No, he hasn't been getting loads of attacking returns recently, although he has shown capability of doing that. The fact that he's 4.2 means that he can just sit on my bench if I don't think he's a great option that particular game week. And it is nice to have doublers if you think they can get the returns. So I will be keeping hold of Gusto for the time being. Right, let's move on to midfielders now. Arsenal midfielders first, and obviously Saka, the number one choice in midfield from Arsenal. He did take a knock towards the end of the Bayern Munich game. To be perfectly honest with you, I mean, we always see him limping off towards the end of every single game, whether he's subbed or it's the end of the match. However, in this particular instance, it was after a coming together at the end of the match between Arsenal and Bayern Munich, where he collided with Manuel Neuer in a potential penalty appeal. We won't get into that, but what I will say is that it did really just kind of look like a bit of an impact knock. Nothing really to worry about, I don't think. And like Liverpool, Arsenal very, very much in a title race. I don't think that Arteta can afford to rest him too much. So if he's fit, I think he plays. As for other midfielders, really, you've kind of got 2 options, and I did briefly mention them earlier. You've got Havertz, who has been in fantastic form in recent weeks, getting into great positions, playing ultimately as a forward. So always nice to have a midfield FPL pick that's playing out of position because you get the extra point for goals. So that's always handy. The perhaps slightly safer pick, it's certainly in terms of minutes, would be Martin Odegaard. The only reason I say that is because I do think there is the potential with that Champions League game in the balance for Havertz to potentially be rested this week. Gabriel Jesus is fit and can come in for him. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if Havertz maybe got a rest this weekend and we saw Jesus come in for him. And then Havertz is ready for that Champions League second leg. Whilst Chelsea defenders are not essential, I would say Cole Palmer certainly is. If you don't have him yet, I'd be very, very confused because he's been cheap. Even now, at just over 6 million, he's still the absolute bargain of the game this season. I think he might have even at one point been 4.9 million this season. Absolutely incredible price for him. And he's just been sensational for Chelsea. Everything has gone through him. Assists, goals, penalties. He has been crucial to their mid-table status. So in a poor performing Chelsea side, Cole Palmer continues to deliver FPL returns. And with two doubles in the next five game weeks, he is absolutely essential for your squads. Chelsea at home against Everton this week, a decent fixture for him. Heung-min Son, on the other hand, not quite as essential. Spurs blank in 34, while Palmer does at least have a fixture, although it is away against Arsenal. And while Spurs do have two doubles, they are pretty tricky. They've obviously got Arsenal and Chelsea in a double in 35. And they've got Burnley and City in game week 37. So I would say game week 37, more of a priority than game week 35. So perhaps he's not essential right now. But Son, I do think, is still a really, really good pick, despite the difficult fixtures. As I said before, there aren't a lot of teams keeping clean sheets, even the good teams. And Son is a player that is absolutely capable of doing damage against almost anyone. And Spurs actually do have a pretty good record at home against those good sides like Arsenal and Manchester City. So by no means is he a bad pick, but I wouldn't say he's absolutely essential. But I'll be certainly keeping hold of him. As for Manchester City midfield options, Phil Foden took a knock in that Champions League game. What a performance from him, and what a goal from him, by the way, against Real Madrid. He did take a knock towards the end of the game, which forced Pep into making his only substitution of the match. Alvarez, who had a well-earned rest on the bench in midweek, coming on for the last 5 minutes. So I would not be at all surprised to see Alvarez come straight back into the starting lineup for the Premier League game. He's been an absolute ever-present in the Premier League match day starting 11s from Pep. And Foden, I would not be at all surprised to see rested this week. So I wouldn't sell Foden if I owned him. I would just bench him. But I really am expecting him to get a rest. That knock is less than ideal. And Manchester City are at home against Luton this week. This isn't a game where City absolutely desperately need Foden to play. I know that's obviously a dangerous thought process, but City should have more than enough to beat Luton at home without Phil Foden. So I can see Foden getting a rest. And I can see Haaland, however, not getting a rest for that reason. De Bruyne didn't play. He was apparently ill, but he was on the bench. So I can see perhaps De Bruyne and Haaland continuing to play as well as Alvarez in the Luton game, and Foden getting the rest ahead of that second leg against Real Madrid. The only way I would say it's potentially worth selling Foden is if you're not free hitting and you just need to get more doublers into your midfield ahead of game week 34. And then you can just look to bring Foden back in after those doublers, you know, perhaps for a Saka or a Luis Diaz or a Havertz or whoever is done with the doubles for the rest of the season. So that could be a way that you could maybe sell him and then buy him back fairly swiftly, because I do think Foden is a player that you are going to want to own from game week 35 onwards. For any Jarrod Bowen owners, I'm afraid it's bad news. He's not expected to feature this week. That will have been frustrating for owners of him, with a fairly nice fixture at home against Fulham. And obviously next week they are away against Crystal Palace. But after that, the fixtures do get a little trickier. They've got Liverpool, Chelsea and City as three of their last four. There is a home game against Luton in game week 37 that would be worth owning Bowen for. But I think we'll probably be trying our best to build squads that double in 37. So I do think that if you are an owner of Jarrod Bowen, now is probably the time to sell. If you can hold on one more week and bench him, then I would say game week 35 could be the perfect time to sell Bowen, maybe for someone like a Phil Foden or another appealing option that doubles in game week 37. Also, I just briefly mentioned Crystal Palace midfielders Eze and Elise. Eze has been playing pretty well and getting some FPL returns recently. Despite Palace not necessarily getting results, they are starting to look quite cohesive in attack since Glasner took over. And also, Elise is now back from injury. He came off the bench last week for a quarter of an hour appearance. So that is good to see. What I will say is I wouldn't be bringing them in just yet. Game week 33 sees Palace face Liverpool. So if you're not free hitting, then I would just wait one more game week and then I'd be looking to bring in Eze or Elise ahead of a double game week in 34 for Crystal Palace. If you are free hitting, then pretty much the same applies. Just wait for your free hit to be activated and then you can bring in Palace assets then. Moving on to forwards. Just a couple I really want to mention. Darwin Nunez is the biggest headache for many owners this game week. He played 60 minutes in Europe, which I would say is less than ideal for FPL owners. And that is just down to the fact that I do think there's a chance that he might be rotated. And that is because Jota is back. He played the last 20 minutes of that game. And that will certainly have been really pleasing for Klopp to see, because he's definitely going to need him. There have been a few times where Darwin just hasn't put the ball in the back of the net when perhaps he should. We've always said with Darwin Nunez, his underlying numbers are always really, really good, but his chance conversion just isn't that great. He has been getting FPL returns, and I do think he's been a really good option for FPL this year. I just think that Jota's return does impact potentially Darwin's minutes, and that is just not ideal, especially ahead of a double game week for Liverpool, because it just really means that there is the possibility that Darwin starts one and Jota starts the other, and you just never really get the opportunity to capitalise on a double game week for Liverpool forwards. So rotation is certainly a concern now for Darwin Nunez owners ahead of double game week 34. I would even go as far to say that Darwin might even be a sell. Even this week against Crystal Palace, there is the possibility that Jota starts ahead of him. Luis Diaz has been in very good form and I think will start on the left. I can see Jota getting the nod, playing up front, and Salah playing on that right-hand side as usual, with Darwin perhaps coming on as an impact substitution instead this week. At Manchester City, Haaland had another quiet night in Europe, but he did play the full 90. Does that mean he gets rested this week? Well, as I said earlier, Foden's knock, I think, late on in that game probably reduces the risk of Haaland getting the rest. I think it'll be Foden that gets the rest. Haaland more likely to play. Manchester City really just can't afford to drop points at the moment. They've got to keep up the pace with Arsenal and Liverpool. And I also think that Haaland is a player who I think Pep is probably slightly more likely to just continue to play almost into form. With the last few weeks of the season ahead, Pep is going to want Haaland banging in goals and finding his form once again. And I think the only way that you're going to see that is if you just keep playing him. So I see Haaland not getting a rest, starting against Luton this week. And that makes him a very, very appealing option for captaincy. What makes him even more appealing is the fact that I think Kevin De Bruyne starts as well against Luton after he didn't get any minutes against Real Madrid. So I think when those two are on the pitch together, Haaland just becomes absolutely lethal. And I can see a bit of a haul for him against Luton. Haaland will definitely be my captain this week. Isak is the number one target for many FPL managers at the moment. And that is because the fixtures are fantastic for Newcastle. And despite their defensive frailties and injuries galore, they are still scoring goals. And Isak has been absolutely central to that. Spurs at home is what Isak has this week. And then after that, the fixtures do look really, really appealing. Palace away, Sheffield United at home, Burnley away, and then a double game week 37 sees Brighton at home and Manchester United away before Brentford away at the end of the season. I fully expect Isak to get returns between now and the end of the season. Since he's come back from injury, his form has been fantastic. 6 goal involvements in his last 6 appearances. That's 5 goals and 1 assist. He would be certainly my number one transfer target this week. I'm almost certainly going to be bringing him in, and it could well be for Darwin Nunez. Other forwards that are worth just mentioning, Solanke owners certainly wouldn't be looking to sell him this week, even if you are on a free hit, just because I think a game at the moment against Manchester United is absolutely fantastic for forwards. Manchester United conceding lots of chances, lots of goals, and I can see Solanke getting a return in this game week. And then if you aren't free hitting, then you certainly want to keep him because he doubles in 34 as well. If you are, then I would hold on to him for one more week, and then I'd be looking to offload him, perhaps for Isak. However, if on the other hand you are an Ollie Watkins owner, this could be the week in which you finally sell the Aston Villa man, who has been fantastic for all owners this season. But with Aston Villa facing Arsenal this week and then no doubles for the rest of the season, it does feel like there are other priorities up front, and Watkins just has dropped way down the priority list. So I can see him being a pretty sensible sell this week. I think if you are free hitting in 34, then I would probably sell Watkins for Isak. If you are still building your team of doublers for game week 34, I'd be selling Watkins for either Solanke or maybe still Darwin Nunez, but I think that is much more of a risk now, as I said before. Now, just before I finish up, I am just going to briefly discuss about the bench boost chip, because there aren't too many game weeks left, just 6 remain this season. And we have 2 big double game weeks in 34 and 37. Many people who still have their free hit will be using that chip in one of those 2 big double game weeks. That normally means that the bench boost gets used in the other one. What I will say is, don't force players into your squads just to be able to get a decent bench that doubles so that you are maximizing that bench boost chip. The problem is that particularly with defenders, and invariably this season we've only played 3 at the back because the defensive options have not been great, the clean sheets have not been flowing. The problem is you end up with 2 defenders on your bench, and because the defensive picks have not been particularly forthcoming and easy to find, you end up with some pretty ropey defensive options on your bench doubling. And they don't have particularly appealing doubles. They're probably not going to get a couple of clean sheets. And so you have to ask yourself, is it really worth crowbarring these doublers onto your bench just so that you can hit that bench boost button and be happy that you've got 4 bench players all doubling? There is absolutely nothing wrong with a single game week bench boost if the fixtures look good. If you don't have your free hit left now, and you're looking at game week 34 and there's loads and loads of doublers in there that you really want to try and get into your squad. You know, there are still some pretty decent fixtures in 34 that are just single game week fixtures. So I look at, for example, Manchester United. They are at home to Sheffield United. You might have Maguire on your bench. Manchester City are away at Brighton. Aston Villa are at home against Bournemouth. I mean, you might have in game week 34 a bench that has Maguire, maybe Douglas Luiz or Leon Bailey, and maybe even Foden sat on your bench because they're not doubling in game week 34 and you don't have your free hit. I would absolutely bench boost in game week 34 there. Don't wait for three or four doublers if their fixtures aren't particularly great. Use the bench boost if it looks like you could get some returns off your bench. Just go for it. Right then, I think that just about wraps it up this week. A slightly longer episode than usual, but had a lot to get through ahead of a busy end to the season. A reminder once again that the deadline for Game Week 33 is Saturday the 13th of April at 11 a.m. UK time. My name is Andy Johnson. Thank you very much for listening to the pod as always. You can find me on Twitter or X at Andy J Audio and at One Stop FPL. I am going to start tweeting out a few sort of preview clips of the pod as it gets released. And I'll also just be generally posting a little bit more going forward as well. So thank you very much for listening. Best of luck to everyone chasing a green arrow, and I'll talk to you again soon.